On this day, 4 years ago, the world was shutting down. I remember watching on TV as the remainder of the NBA basketball season was canceled and understanding that our lives were about to change. Of course, what followed was profoundly worse than a few lost basketball games. We watched in horror as the COVID-19 virus spread like fire across the world, as hospitals ran out of masks, as exhausted nurses and doctors and grocery store workers risked their lives to go to work. 4 years later, many of us are still struggling with the loss of a loved one. More than 1 million people in the United States dead, many of them dying alone in the ICU. The Pandemic Journaling Project captures some of the anxiety and grief we were feeling. 1,800 people around the world submitted more than 27,000 entries, creating a record of an uncertain time. Here are a few of the entries.
There are protesters where I live that protest the enforcement of wearing masks.
Institutions that our whole lives we were taught were there to look out for the people and were of the people and by the people and for the people, completely fumbled.
Today, the state that I'm living in made it so that everybody over the age of 16 can get vaccinated, which is really great. That's even more hopeful.
The Journal Project was co-founded by Brown University anthropology professor Catherine Mason and Sarah Willen at the University of Connecticut. And Catherine Mason joins us now. Welcome, Catherine. It's good to speak with you.
Thanks for having me.
And listen, in the news business, we covered this story relentlessly. I remember some days it felt like every minute of our two-hour show was dedicated to COVID. I'm curious, what makes these journal entries different from all the accounts in the news and across social media that we saw so much of at the time?
These are all anonymous, but I think what was really unique about this was it provided a really raw, real-time reflection that was not subject to kind of public performative posturing like what happens on social media. And we had a really wide variety of folks who were participating. And so it created sort of a snapshot weekly of what people were thinking and feeling.
You used the word raw, which is appropriate, I think, because the grief certainly was raw. More than 1 million Americans died, as I said, and many of those folks died alone in the hospital. Let's listen to some tape from one of your journal entries now.
We're not really making any massive changes in response to any of these tragedies. And I don't know, maybe they will come. I really hope that they will and that we spend a lot of time after this is over, whatever that means, really grieving everything that happened and all of the people that died and suffered.
How did you see the pain come to the surface through so many journal entries?
Oh, it was really intense, you know, and it was intense for our team reading these as we went along and were experiencing our own grief about things. There was, of course, grief for personal loss, grief for the magnitude of lives lost, but there was also grief for things lost and experiences lost, people losing the opportunity to have a, you know, normal college experience or their senior prom or losing the experience of introducing their newborn to family members who they couldn't see. Elderly folks felt like they were losing really precious time when they didn't know how much more time they had left and living in fear during that time. And so there's a profound sense of loss that permeated a lot of the entries.
Loss and loneliness because you could not touch people. It was taboo. I mean, I was struck by this entry which said, not only do I miss my friends, but I also miss strangers. I miss the random encounters I used to have with people on the street, in stores, at bars. I miss making a connection with someone and then going our own ways. What do you think about this loneliness and whether it's still 4 years later somehow still lingers in our society?
I think it does. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so important to remember. People were lonely, as you noted in that entry, for strangers. I mean, that was one of the things that was really interesting, this sort of loneliness for spaces full of people. So loneliness
for
crowded train, for a cafe, for just being able to walk out onto the street and see other people, that sense of like a bustling aliveness that was just gone for a while, as well as the inability to touch. Some folks early in the pandemic were talking about skin hunger, and we saw a lot of that.
We also can't ignore what else was happening at the time. There was a very contentious election going on, and of course the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis at the hands of police, which, as we know, sparked protests and a reckoning around the globe. I have a feeling this came through a lot in your journal entries. Can you talk about that and what you learned?
I mean, one of the things that was so interesting about doing this at this time was that, of course, it wasn't just the pandemic, right? It was the pandemic and the murder of George Floyd. It was the pandemic and the election. It was the pandemic and the wildfires, if you'll recall, in California in that first summer. It's the pandemic and the January 6th insurrection. And people were talking about that in long kind of missives about all of these things together. So they'd start talking about the pandemic, and then they'd veer into social justice concerns, and then they'd start, you know, ranting about politics, and it was all mixed up together in one very chaotic experience for people.
We can see that these wounds still linger in our society, clearly the political wounds, the loneliness wounds we were talking about. And yet I think we've gotten to a point 4 years on where the pandemic is something that people don't really want to talk about anymore because it seems like life is back to normal. So I'm just curious, as time starts to pass even more, how do you think these journal entries will help people like you, historians even, understand what actually happened to us as a society because of this pandemic?
From the very beginning, this was always a historical project. And that was because we knew this was going to be a really significant event. And yet, as you noted, people wanted to forget it almost immediately. And I understand that, right? There's been this sort of collective amnesia of like, oh, that happened. Okay, now we're just back to normal. But we're not back to normal, right? A lot of things change, and there is this huge hole in people's lives. I mean, people are often, when I speak with them now, talk about the sort of pandemic vortex, right? Or this kind of fuzzy period that it's hard to even remember what was happening in 2020 and 2021. But a lot was happening, right? And it was incredibly impactful on, as you mentioned, the entire world. And it's really important, we think, to preserve those experiences so that people can go back and understand what was happening in people's homes, in people's families, you know, what struggles they were having, what joy they were finding, because it wasn't all doom and gloom. And to preserve this period and to preserve it in a way that allows for all different sorts of people to kind of leave their mark and make sure that their experiences are not forgotten.
There was joy. I think that's important. I remember watching my preschooler learn how to tie her shoes for the first time, and I'm not sure I would have been there with her otherwise. And I hope we can end on an uplifting note. Was there anything that you saw in these journal entries that made you, I don't know, that warmed your heart in any way?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people submitted music, they submitted art. There was a lot of discussion of the special time, as you note, that people had with their children that they were not expecting. And the journal entry I always think about when I think about joy is there is a young woman who worked at a homeless shelter. If you'll recall, there's also a national coin shortage. I don't know if you remember that, but there was a national coin shortage.
And she
was, and she was so upset about the fact that people couldn't get quarters and they couldn't get quarters for them to wash their clothes that she sent out a call on her kind of friend list. Does anybody have quarters? And just overnight on her porch, people left dozens and dozens of quarters. And she was really moved by people's desire to help each other, by people's feeling of collective hardship and feeling like they were all in this together. It didn't last long, unfortunately, in our country, but it did exist. And that was something I think that was special.
Yeah. Wow. Catherine Mason, an anthropology professor at Brown University, co-founder of the Pandemic Journaling Project. Thank you so much for spending time with us 4 years now after this pandemic broke out and shut down the country. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.